In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. From that amazing pericope, I have chosen to lift one phrase. A phrase that I think will give you something to think about, something perhaps at times to feel guilty about, and at least something to challenge you. In your teaching, show integrity. That raises a question. When is our teaching full of integrity? Five times prior to this, St. Paul, in writing to a young pastor, had stressed the word sound teaching, sound doctrine, or perhaps healthy doctrine. And as you listen to that pericope, you notice that we who are called by the Lord to be pastors are busybodies. We're supposed to instruct the young women and the old women and the young men. And when you stop to think about it, a pastor is in a rather unique position. A man in his middle years or in his 40s drops dead and you have a funeral and his widow and children sit there in the front row in church and hardly anybody knows what to say, but you say it. Do not sorrow as others who have no hope. How do you know that? What right do you have to intrude upon the grief of a widow, an orphan, with such surety? Well, you stand by a deathbed and you hold the hand of an aged saint and maybe even close her eyelids as she takes the step into eternity, and you say, she has gone to heaven. She is not dead. How do you know? And the whole world, and every rational part of the human being says she is dead. And again, you're going to be telling people how to live, what to believe, how to react. It's a busybody kind of a calling. And therefore, as we have come to the end of a quarter, and your head is spinning, and I guess I take great comfort in the curve of forgetting that all of those marvelous things which you have answered this week on your final exam may not stay with you too long. How do you put it all together? Hermeneutics and exegetics and church history and all of this. And we love all of those big sounding names. At least it impresses your girlfriend. How do you put it all together? You've got a week now before we start the swift slide down to May, and the spring quarter goes quickly. You've got a week, and I would urge you to try prayerfully and carefully to put it together. What does it all mean? All of these things that we do around here. And I would suggest that it means we must constantly be on our guard to make sure that in our teaching we have integrity. When do we have integrity? Well, in the first place, I would suggest our teaching as pastors has integrity if it is not our teaching, but the Word of God. Just the other day, driving in my car, I had a radio station on, the Eternal Talk Shows, and somebody called in and said with great sureness that he was certain that nobody could speak for God. And the man who was running the talk show said, that's right. And of course, what that amounts to is whatever I think God is saying to me, that's okay, because you don't have a right to speak for God. Roll that around in your head a while, fellas, because that's is the career you have chosen with integrity to speak for God. do you know what God is saying? Some of you have detected on my face a slight smile when you have sat in front of my desk in my office and said, God told me I am supposed to be a pastor, and I've been very patient with that. You haven't been able to give me chapter and verse. And I remind you that God will tell you when he gets good and ready. And he has chosen to tell you that through the call of his people. But he has indeed put into your heart the aspiration. And this brings to bear many of the things that we say again and again around here. You had better be sure when you speak that you speak for God. You know how our Lord says, I am against the prophets who use their lips and their ideas and then sanctify it by saying, he said. And there's more than one Lutheran pastor who has fallen prey to that. Make sure that you know. And therefore, the doctrine of Scripture, the doctrine of Revelation, is vital to you. And you must be sure, for you speak and teach with integrity, when you are sure you are speaking the will of God. This is why sometimes in your theological interviews, some of us display a little impatience when it becomes evident that you have not been too eager to determine the will of God and to know your Scriptures. One thing is demanded of you, my good brothers. You must be experts in the Bible. There is absolutely no excuse in the calling of the ministry. In your teaching, show integrity. And you show integrity, first of all, when you are sure you are speaking the will of God. Secondly, you are showing integrity when you know what you're supposed to be doing with that word. And the devil is always around us. If he tempted our Lord Jesus Christ, what do you think he will do with you? I have told my homiletics classes again and again, the great temptation which I am under at this very moment of being a ham for God. This seminary and our church body has prepared this pulpit, and I am allowed to don these somewhat ridiculous garments and to stand here, and you all are quiet, for you have been taught to be, and I am able to show off. There's always that temptation in the ministry. The goal, of course, is shorthand, law and gospel. It will be your calling, and you teach with integrity when you handle the word of God to do what God wants done with it, to dredge the hearts of men until they cry out in fear and anguish, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And when you bring the sweet gospel to that anguished sinner, his guilt is with him day and night, and say, the Lord has forgiven me for the sake of Jesus Christ. You teach with integrity when you don't play with the word of God, when you don't entertain with the word of God, when you do not merely inform with the word of God, but when you drive sinners to repentance through the law and lift them up again to the sweetness of the gospel. And in the third place, you teach with integrity when you give evidence in your life that you believe what we just confessed, and when you live it. You are to be models, as Paul says here, show yourself in all respects a model of good deeds. And how we would like to avoid that, and how there are times when you say, well, I don't have my clerical collar on, and I can always turn my lapel cross inside out, and now I don't have to be a model. He who aspires to the office of bishop is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, a model of good deeds. And the integrity of your teaching, of meaning what you preach, will be determined to a great extent by the world, at least, and often by the people committed to your care, by the evidence in your own life that you believe that you are a child of God, and that God wants other people to be his children. That you really believe it when you say and lead your people in saying, "We have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed." That you really mean that, and that you mean it when you come to people again and again with the good news that there is a living Lord and that we live in the hope of resurrection. In your teaching, have integrity. There is no room for laziness in the ministry. There is no room for getting by, because as we aspire to the mantle of the office of the holy ministry, we place ourselves under the demands of the pastoral epistle. My good brothers, during this week, think about it. Think of the seriousness of it and the glory of the holy ministry. And in all you do, now as you study, and as you begin to look forward to that first call or to your victory, say again and again to yourself, "In my teaching, I will show integrity." So help us all, good Lord.